A variety of vehicles have been at the center of some of the most dramatic developments in the police and political capture saga that is playing out at the Matlanga Commission and at the Ad Hoc Committee in Parliament. With me is Juanita de Pree of Action Society.
Hi there, Chris. Thank you for the opportunity. It will be fun today.
Let us start with the former African National Congress election fixer, Brian Mokgotsi, who is apparently now in such fear of his life that he allegedly tried to stage his own assassination. Using this clapped-out car with worn tires, I don't know, 8 to 11 bullets were fired into it, no blood inside, no Mokgotsi, nobody, and the internet is ablaze with comments, I'm sure you've seen.
Yes, definitely. Yesterday morning, I was dropping off people and I saw the notification come through and I couldn't wait to read it. And as I saw the picture of the car, I was like, why was Brian Mokgotsi driving this car? This guy who is put together with money, he would not be caught. And I read somebody who said he would not be caught dead in a
he
car like that.
He wasn't caught dead.
Very ironically. But it is, it's in the first place, to make it more believable, guy, really just use a car that you would normally drive. And then the things that's coming out, the gunshots and so on, it's not in the right places. There's a witness who saw him being dropped off afterwards in a white VW Golf. Everything is just so crazy. Him not turning up the next day to go and give his statement after they're already trying to get a hold of him. I don't know what he was trying to reach. It was a very badly thought out attempt to stage something. I don't know if he thought anybody would believe it. Everybody from the start was like, oh, that stage, nobody believes it.
He must be truly desperate having been robbed by the African National Congress. I have no idea who is advising him. But apparently he is safe somewhere with his wife and children, doesn't trust any police officials now, does not want to testify. But let's see. Some people are suggesting that it would suit many people if he didn't testify.
Yeah, I think he should testify. It's a lot of people fear for their lives. We have the witnesses who came forth and who are in hiding, who haven't seen their families for so long. You should have thought about that before you got your hands into this fight. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for his family. Who are now also fearing or don't know what is going on. Should they fear for their lives or whatever? But he should have, you know what you're getting into when you do stuff like this. And as I have no sympathy. Obviously the water is getting hot and he doesn't have anybody on his side now. So staging this attempt on his life, I can understand why he's doing it, but it's maybe you... think about something better if you want to do that, more believable. But he must speak. He must face whatever is coming his way because he was part of this.
I don't think his silence will protect him.
A lot of stuff has already come out. It will be proven. It's from so many correspond or different people, and it corresponds. So he's been saying that they're out to get him and stuff like that. But I don't know. You're a criminal. You took money from criminals and politicians, and it was just to benefit yourself. I'm sure he took a commission when he didn't do it for free. You're getting what's coming to you.
No, that car, the memes are not going to stop. Now, Crime Intelligence Chief General Dumisani Khumalo was back at the Matlanga Commission with more startling evidence and footage of another vehicle, a Toyota Hilux, seen or driven by suspended Deputy National Commissioner Shadrach Sabir during the raid on his home. Now, that vehicle turns out to belong to one Sharnik Stewart James, with 34 cases against him, found guilty in 18, 11 withdrawn, 5 not guilty. It is unclear what his role exactly is in the life of General Sabir, but he was with him in Parliament when he went to testify at the ad hoc committee.
Yeah, well, it looks like in that instance, he was a bit of a bodyguard. Maybe he's a jack of all trades. He's a bit of a chauffeur, a bit of a bodyguard, a bit of a crook. It's difficult. You have to, you can't just have one job these days. You have to, find other ways of income. But this just proves so much more how crooked Sabir is. Because he's hanging out, clearly, he's driving around with the car of a well-known criminal who's involved with car theft syndicates. If this is the company that he keeps, it's proof that he should not have been in his position, and also he should get what is coming to him. And it is good that he is on suspension and. I hear the calls and we echo that and we support that for his arrest because, this is overwhelming evidence that is coming now.
Well, apparently he was not well enough to attend his disciplinary hearing.
I'm sure he was not well enough. all of them now are going to have a lot of excuses. Like we see somebody who's fearing for his life because of the attempted murder of his life. And now this one is sick. Everybody's going to get excuses, but they should not let them get their way. They should have their day in court and they should, or in the commission. And we want the answers and we want to see that they are punished for what they did. It's not acceptable that they can get away with that. And I think most South Africans will stand strongly to see that this is enough. We're not going to take it.
Another vehicle footage was shown, also one linked to General Sabir, assigned to his, allocated to his office, and it was used by one Sergeant Sabelo Nkosi to go and pick up a bag with mysterious contents from the home of alleged murder mastermind Katie Molefe.
Yeah. So, yes, I see all the cars connected. But, being a police officer so high up, aren't you supposed to be thinking about how you can be tracked and so on? Why did they, if you want to be a criminal, be a good criminal, cover your tracks. But I think they were so comfortable and so arrogant that they thought they can just do what they want to. They won't get caught and they won't come anything of it. So that's why they just did it so blatantly. But now I'm happy that there was evidence. We all wonder what was in the bag. Was it a bag full of money? Have we upgraded now from envelopes to bags full of money? Or was it some incriminating stuff that was in there? That remains to be seen. We don't know that yet.
Robertson, a small town in the middle of nowhere where a wine farmer claims to have sold a Volkswagen up to e-buy cars.
A farmer.
What car did you really sell them?
A VW.
Right here in Robertson.
Small town, but we know about e-buy cars.
Yeah, but what's a farmer doing with a VW up?
It was just a runaround.
Cool cover story. And I see you traded it in for this, like a double cab Danay. Were they all out of Rangers?
E-buy cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
You know, I don't know if you are getting the impression, but I'm getting the impression looking at footage that by the time the KZN provincial commissioner called that press conference, all this evidence was already in place.
Yeah, definitely. We had conversations, and I can't think that somebody would put his career on the line, his credibility on the line, everything like the general did, without having everything in place and knowing what is going to happen and what will be the consequences. So and having the evidence, because it's very easy afterwards to wipe videos and clear WhatsApp messages and so on and so forth. So he must have thought about that people are going to jump around when he does such a public expose of what was going on. So yes, I do think everything was already in place. It wasn't just a interestingly, the acting police minister Firoz Khijalia said that he stands by his initial statement that the way he did it wasn't according to procedure and so on. But I saw that he afterwards said it was extraordinary circumstances. So I think he's swaying, and he's like, he can see the guy had no other choice. He had no other option than to do it like that. I don't think he did it without planning it out before. Maybe he's a better thinker than the criminals.
At that time, everybody thought, oh my goodness, these are starting revelations. But in fact, now it turns out that was just a teaser, a preview of what was to come. And he must have stood there thinking, okay, if you think this is bad, wait, just wait.
You don't know what I know.
You don't know what I know. Exactly. What else has stood out for you the past couple of days?
Well, I really want to see what the acting minister is saying. He is speaking today. And then again with the deputy ministers, it is now they said that both of them said they were not at all informed or asked their opinion or consulted or anything in the disbandment of the PKTT. Again, I was thinking, oh, and something else that I think it is Boshero that said that since she's never known what her mandate was. She doesn't know. And that struck me as something that we said the previous time. If you are working for how many years or months, you're you're the deputy minister and you don't know what you're supposed to do, should you not maybe think, maybe I should ask somebody ask somebody in the first place what I should do? If you don't get answers, then tell other people, listen, I'm not getting any direction here. It seems a bit suspicious. Can we maybe look into that? That's what I would do. That's, I think, what any normal thinking person would do. Or is it just the way that, oh, well, I get paid to and have a high profile job, but I don't have to do anything? It's not acceptable, and it's not a good excuse. Now you can say, oh, well, I didn't know anything. Yes, you didn't know anything because you didn't do anything. So it's, I don't want to say the word disappointed, but I'm just like, don't come and sit here and think you are now scot-free. And maybe you're not guilty of the same things, but you were also not doing what you were supposed to do. And I think it shows a lot of the integrity of a lot of people in high positions in South Africa. Let's focus on South Africa, but the people are just almost handed positions and money and salaries, which they don't deserve and that they don't work to deserve. Many South Africans work hard every day. You wake up, you go to work. Many of South Africans don't have enough money to make ends meet, but they get up and they work and they do an honest day work and they have integrity. And I think that is what makes people so upset. It's because why must I bring my part and live a poor life while other people do nothing? And they sit there on mountains of money, flashing it everywhere. It's it's the unfairness of that. I think that is also making people not feeling like they want to listen to anything they have to say.
And people are repeatedly asking, when are those implicated going to be arrested? And for people who are starving and poor and have no job prospects, to watch how one looting kingpin spends 52 million on just one car.
I used to say in the past, I would like, and this is now for the kingpins, the rich politicians, the ones who aren't in it, to really make a change to the country, who is just in there for their own benefit. I would like them to go and spend a week living like the poor people live, and then come back and say, and make policies and so on and so forth. Because I think then they would really sing a different tune. It's easy to sit in your ivory tower and to make decisions that affect people because you don't do your job well and you just want to get as much for yourself. It's a bit different when you're on the other side and you have to face that. I really would like to see people. This is for everything. If we're speaking about people not having money, people not having jobs, people not having food to eat, and sexual offences. If we're speaking to the Action Society mandate, I would like the Minister of Justice to go and sit at court and wait with a family and see what they have to go through, and come back every time a case is postponed with no progress. Go and sit in a police officer in their office and see how they didn't get to do the stuff they had to do. They didn't investigate it. There's an outstanding toxicology report delaying a case for 2-3 years. I would like them to go and live that person's life and then come back and see if they want to make changes and if it's acceptable how it is run at the moment.
And many people are also pointing out that it's not just dirty money we're dealing with here. We are dealing with blood money. If you think of how many people might have died because of the hospital looting.
Yeah, 100%. That place is and not just Tembisa. I think most of our state hospitals are really struggling, but Tembisa is now the big example, and it's just the amount of money that was swindled under the name of Tembisa. How many people could have had operation, whatever, something that could have saved their lives, emergency procedures. People sit and waiting in the queues at clinics, and they die in those queues because this is what we have to deal with. If you don't have a private health insurance, this is what many South Africans have to live with. That's what you have to face. And then medicine, how expensive is that for a diabetic person? It's not something to make yourself feel better or something. It's life-saving medicine. But that all filters into these people stealing the money meant to save people's lives. I wonder if it bothers them at all. If it now maybe it bothers them because they're going to be found out and they're going to be punished. But did it ever bother them? I don't think so. I think they felt nothing, because how else would you do that and have a conscience? Because it's impossible.
We're looking forward to some arrests soon. Thank you very much. That was Yonita Dupree of Action Society speaking to me, Chris Stein at BizNews.